Well, good morning. We're in chapter 3 of our book, moving right along this morning. Haven't y'all enjoyed this pretty weather? So glad you're here this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. We know it's going to be cold again, right? It's coming. But let's just enjoy it while we can. Hopefully it'll stay this way all afternoon because we're going to be doing all of our bus barn today. Move everything in that bus barn. You just need to come see this. I'm just telling you. It is so overwhelming. They bring it all in, and it's just a mountain of stuff, and you think there is no way we're going to organize all this stuff. And then somehow it gets organized. And so we need help, lots of help next week. We start at 8:30 in the morning, and every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And so you say, well, I don't have much time. Well, come spend whatever time you've got. And just jump in. It's a lot of fun, and you'll be making yourself a little stash because that's what we do, right? And so,
as we get started doing that,
yes. Are they? All right. Well, we'll address that. Yes, we'll address that. We sure will. Okay. Let's see. I was going to say something else.
We have stuff. So, that I was going to bring on Monday. Yes. I went to the bus barn.
No, the bus barn is empty today. Now, if you want to come this afternoon about 2:30, and you pull up, there will be an army of teenage boys and men, and they'll unload your car. And you won't even have to get out of your car. That's the best way.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I just told Jenny to do. Come about, just pull in that main parking lot about 2:30, and they're going to have wagons and carts and all kind of stuff, and they'll just unload your car for you, and that'll be good. So, I had another thought, and it flew away. Thank you. Easter clothes. Let me remind you, when is Easter, by the way? April the 9th. We give each child at Dickerson Place $100 to go and buy an Easter outfit. And they absolutely love it. They get to go choose, get shoes, the whole thing. So that's what our Sunday school class does. We're such a large Sunday school class. It's so easy for us to do that. I think they have probably anywhere, usually, from 10 to 15 children on their campus. And so that's just such a blessing for them that we do that. They love us doing that. And so you can donate to Miriam. Raise your hand, Miriam, she's not hearing me. Or Joyce. They sort of handle that in our Sunday school. She's got money already. Look at her. So just donate to them. Or if you want to, you can take it to your church office and just tell them it's for Dickerson Place. Make sure they know that's what it's for. All right, let's open with a word of prayer, and we're going to jump right in. This is a good chapter for us this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the blessing of studying your word together this morning. We thank you for the beauty of our day, for the beauty of the season. And Father, as we come to your word this morning, we would just ask you to give us attentive hearts. We would ask you, Father, to say something very personal to us this morning. Help us to have ears to hear. And I just ask you to bless us as we study together. I pray for every woman in our room. I pray for her world. I ask you, Father, to take her where she is. Move her along in her faith. Bring us together, Father. Build community within our church, within our Sunday school class. We pray for the upcoming week. I pray, Father, that you'll just bring an army of volunteers. It's going to be so much fun to work together. I pray that you would just fill our hearts with joy as we serve our community. And we just pray for Brother Sam and our sister Jessie, that you would bless them in India as they are there. And may our work be a great encouragement to them. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, guess what today's chapter is? You're going to just love it. Discontent. That's the name of our chapter. Gosh, aren't you glad you came this morning? We're going to talk about discontentment. Wow. But I think it's going to help us to understand what contentment is. Sometimes you have to look at the opposite to understand the reality. Now, on your handout, we're starting out with our definition of contentment that our author has given us. Do you remember what it is? Just see it at your table if you can fill in the blanks on your own. You can talk to your neighbors. Do not cheat, Babs. I see you. She's going right. Look at her. She's going right. See, I want to see if you can remember. Y'all are so bad. See, you got to go home and study. All right, so what did you put? What did you put? What is the definition of contentment that we're using? It's a deep satisfaction with the will of God. Good. Thank you. Now, let's say, okay, Teresa, the opposite of contentment would be discontent. What is the definition for that? And we're going to look at a lot of statements. We're just going to take it and really explore it a good bit this morning. But contentment's a deep satisfaction with the will of God, and discontent there would be a deep displeasure at what God is doing in your life. A deep displeasure. But it's really more than that. And let's just write down some more things. Let's look at it really well this morning, because what we're wanting to do is identify it in our own hearts, okay? Let's write this down. It is a refusal to thank God for what he has done and for what he is doing. It's a refusal to thank God. So I guess we could sum that little statement up by saying discontentment is this. It's ingratitude. So put that on your heart. On your handout. It's been a long weekend. Now, discontentment has some ugly sisters. Who are the sisters, the ugly sisters to discontentment? Well, let's write those down. One is complaining. Put that down. Complaining. That's one sister. Sister complain. Then the next sister is sister grumbling. Complaining and grumbling. And the third sister is sister murmuring. Grumbling, complaining, murmuring. Murmuring. Now, I'm just going to tell you right now, God hates those three sisters. Complaining, grumbling, and murmuring. Well, Teresa, come on. I mean, what's all the fuss about? Everybody grumbles, right? And when you get my age, you have aches and pains. You got to talk about them. And I mean, I can't see where a little complaining, there's a lot in this world to complain about. Amen? I mean, really. And there's a lot in my life that I want to complain about that I don't like. That can't be so bad, right? I mean, really, complaining can't be that bad. Well, I want us to learn exactly how bad it is. There's a lesson from the Old Testament that I want us to look at. It's a lesson about these three sisters, grumbling, complaining, and murmuring. And so think with me now back to the history of the nation of Israel. They went under Joseph into Egypt. At first, they were favored, and they lived in Goshen, which was the Hollywood of Egypt. They had the best of everything. Then a Pharaoh rose up that did not know Joseph, and their nation, because God was blessing them, they were growing by leaps and bounds into the millions of people, and they were worried about them. God, there's so many. They're going to take over our country. And so they took them, and they made them slaves, and they made them to have to build and work hard, and they had hard taskmasters. And they were crying out to their God. And God raised up a deliverer. What was his name? You remember? It starts with an M.
Moses.
Okay. It is early in the morning. And God took Moses, and you know what? He delivered them out of Egypt. It was an amazing thing that God did. And he delivered them out to give them a land. There was a land not too far away that was called Canaan. Listen, it was a land of rest. It was a land of contentment. It was a land of abundance. And he pulled them out to take them there, and they missed it. They missed it. Now, we're going to be looking at a few verses out of 1 Corinthians 10, but let me tell you this verse. You see, they were in bondage, and God freed them. They had their freedom. And then when they got out, he guided them. He put this cloud in the sky. It told them exactly where to go during the day. All they had to do was follow the cloud. And at night, it became a burning, blazing cloud of light for their camp in the dark. I just think that was cool, don't you? And not only that, he took them right through the Red Sea. You know that story. It dried up. They walked across on dry land, and then the whole army of Egypt followed them, and they were drowned. And so they were guided. They ate spiritual food. God gave them food, manna. And then, you know, later on, he gave them quail. And so they were sustained by God. He gave them water, and it was honey water. It was sweet. And so they were free. They were guided. They were identified with Moses and God, and they were sustained as a witnessing community under the leadership of Moses. Now, the whole world knew about this at the time. They were famous in the world. This made God famous in the world. Everybody's talking about this little group of people's God. And no other God had been able to do that. And then there's us. We're the parallel to the nation of Israel. You see, God has called us out, hasn't he? He's called us out to leave sin, and he has freed us from the power of sin, and we've come out from sin. He's made us a witnessing community. You know what? People look at your life, and if they knew you before, they look at you now, and they say, something has changed about her. There's a power about her life. She's not who she was. And so we come out under the wonderful witness of Christ, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, who becomes our head, our leader. The very Spirit of Christ is in us. And so when Paul comes to write the book of Corinthians, and Corinthians was kind of a bad church. They had bad leadership. They needed correction. You know, Christians need correction sometimes, right? Doesn't mean they're not saved. It just means they need to get under God's word. And so Paul is writing this to them, and he's going to make a comparison. He's going to say, now let's go back and let's look at this story out of the Old Testament of Egypt and the children of Israel. And this is a story that you can learn something from. Now, there were millions of them that came out, and look at me. There were millions of them, and they died in the wilderness. That's right. They never got to go into the land of Canaan. They never got to experience rest, abundance, and contentment. I just think that's so sad. And you know what God had to do? He had to let that whole generation die, and then he started with the next generation, and he took them in to the land of Canaan. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, and let me show you. We're going to start with verse 6 there. And that verse says, now these things, speaking of what we just talked about, these things occurred as examples to us. We're the church. That's an example for the church to look at, from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. You know, that's what they did. They set their hearts on evil things. We're going to see what some of those evil things were in just a minute. Go to verse 11. Here's what Paul says. All these things happened unto them as examples, and they were written down in Scripture. And look, notice, it's a warning for us. So this morning, I'm bringing a warning to Sunday school from God himself. And who is it for? It's for those on whom the culmination of the ages have come. That's us. That's the church. Now, this is going to give us a perfect example of someone who has been freed, someone who has been identified with God, someone who was sustained, guided, and then they lost their privilege of entering into rest, into contentment, into the land of Canaan. And here it comes. One of the very reasons, look at me now, they did not enter in was because they murmured and they grumbled and they complained. You think it's serious to murmur, grumble, and complain? Is it? I'm telling you this morning, we're going to see it's very serious. Go to verse 10. Here's what Paul says to these Corinthians and to these Brookhavenians. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and notice, and were killed by the destroying angel. Wow, who is this destroying angel? Well, it's the destroying judgment angel. And listen, God killed people in that day for murmuring and grumbling and complaining. Now, that's pretty serious. God killed them. Let's define murmuring on our handout. Murmuring is a failure to be satisfied with God's will for your life. Wow, sounds like discontentment, doesn't it? And you see, they were scattered then all over that wilderness, the bodies of the people who were not satisfied with the choices that God had made for them, with what God was doing in their life. They were not satisfied, and God had led them there in that wilderness. God's will was for them to come out of Egypt and be there for a time in that wilderness. And they were so discontent. Now think about it. And I want you to answer here. What should they have been thankful for? Let's think of some things. Let's brainstorm. What should they have been thankful for? They weren't slaves anymore. Well, woohoo! That's nice. You don't have to work like a Turk. What else?
Provisions.
Everything they needed provided. And the cool thing about it, it says in the Old Testament their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. God just supernaturally brought them through. What else?
They didn't see that God was there. They just...
Right. But what should they have been thankful for?
His presence.
His presence. How did I know God was there? Because what was there by day? White cloud. What was there by night? Bright cloud. Wow. They should have been thankful, but they were discontent. Now, put this on your handout. Discontent is a serious sin, and that's what I want you to see this morning. It is a serious sin, and not only is it a serious sin, it is dangerous. So put that on your handout. But Teresa, I mean, I'm thinking about my own life this morning, and I'm just going to have to tell you, Teresa, I'm in the wilderness right now. I don't like where I am right now. I don't like where God has me right now. Why on earth does God have me here? Why did God do this? Why, this is not what I wanted. I wanted that over there for my story. No, I want this for my story. Why is it my bills are always, I'm always coming up short? There's too much bill at the end of the money. Now, here's the deal. You can start griping and murmuring and complaining about the things that God has you in, the circumstances of your life. But I want us to look at, I'm just going to story a little bit through Numbers 16. I don't know if I put that reference on your handout, but write it down. Numbers chapter 16. It's a long chapter, but that is the chapter that gives us the details of the story that Paul is referring to in 1 Corinthians 10. It's what he has in mind, this story. And you see, there were two men, really three men in that story, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Those are the three men's names. And you know what happened with those three men? They were strong men. They were in the wilderness, and they did not like Moses, and they thought, who does Moses think he is? And they thought they were going to undermine Moses, and they were complaining and murmuring and grumbling all over the camp of Israel, and people were listening to them, because murmuring and complaining grows. And so all of these people were saying, yeah, you're right, you're right. Who does Moses think he is? And so Moses, in chapter 16, sends out a message and says, hey, Korah and Dathan, I've heard about what you're saying about me. Come and let's talk together. And they said, forget it. We're not interested in talking to you. You are a phony. All you did was lead us out into the wilderness so that you can play like you're the big hero and you're the big prince. Hey, you've got what you wanted. All the rest of us, we're just out here and we're going to die out here, and you're the big man, and we don't like you. And so Moses, who was God's appointed man, doing what God had told him to do, said, guys, I don't like your rebellion. And God said, I don't like your rebellion either. And you know what? I'm going to do something about it, God said. And so you know what he did? He told Moses, tell everybody to get away from Dathan and Korah, and not only those two men, but their whole families. Separate from them. I'm going to judge them. And here's what happened. A hole just opened up in the earth and swallowed 250 people. Their children, their wives, their relatives, their whole clan opened up. They fell, and it says they went straight alive to Sheol, which is hell. And then the earth closed back up. Now that was a judgment of God. Well, the next morning, those who were kind of giving ear to Dathan and Korah and Abiram, they were like, what is this? Well, they got swallowed up. And they started grumbling and complaining. And God sent a destroying angel and killed 147 thousand people for grumbling and complaining. Was it 147,000? It might have been 117,400. Anyway, it was a lot. Oh yeah, 14,700. That's how many. And so you know what 2 Corinthians is saying to us this morning? It's saying you better pay attention to that story. And that's going to be a picture for you. Those of you who are the church, those of you who the culmination of the ages is coming upon, do you realize that your belly aching is serious? If you do, just look at number 16. And I want to just tell you, next week, you just get that, your Bible out, and read number 16. Meditate on that. Think about that before you start belly aching. Now, they didn't just complain about Moses. No, no, no. They complained about everything. They didn't like the food. They didn't like the lack of water. They didn't like their enemies, and they were afraid of all their enemies, and they didn't like it because they were in the wilderness. So write this on your handout. God hates, that's a strong word, he hates grumbling and complaining. Now let's go into another verse in the New Testament. Look at Philippians 2:14. Here's a command for you right now. Do a few things without complaining and disputing, right? How many?
All.
Do all things without complaining and disputing. And then let's just add Colossians 3:15 to it. Not only don't complain, but look, be thankful. Wow. So discontent, for your handout, is a prideful attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart, a prideful attitude. And then add this, it opens the door to a host of other sins in your life. Oh, you know what? You may be able to camouflage your discontent for a little while. Nobody will know it's there. You're at work and you're doing your job, but in your heart, you're so discontent. And you hate it there, and you hate the people there, and you have a very bad attitude, and you may be able to hide it for a while, but one thing is for sure. Eventually, it's going to come out. It is. It's going to come out in some kind of complaining, grumbling, display of self-pity. If you leave it unchecked, it will open the door to a host of other sins. Look at the quote on your handout. If we are planting a crop of discontent, other foul weeds will soon be growing right alongside. Now, I like that picture. Look at Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So let's see, what kind of crop are we going to get? If we're going to sow discontentment, okay, write it on your handout. It will yield a very bitter crop, a bitter crop. And, Teresa, you just don't understand. My circumstances are difficult. Discontent will only increase the misery. So write that down. It will only increase the misery of your already hard circumstance. Now let's think about contentment. Contentment gives us a cheerfulness in the midst of hard circumstances, but discontent causes everything to be dreary. It just puts a blanket on your life. Think about contentment. It causes us to look on the bright side, to be thankful, but discontent magnifies the problems, the troubles. It just makes them even worse than they are. And you know what it does? Write it down. It tells a sad story about how bad our condition is. Let me just tell you my story. I don't deserve this. And you know what discontent will do? I didn't put this on your handout, but it embellishes the story. Right? The story even gets worse than it really is. And you know, the more I tell it, the more I believe it. So write this down. Discontent is not pleasant to be around. It's not pleasant to be around. And you know this. So here's what happens with people who are discontent. They like to hang around with other people who are discontent. And so you know what? They just get together and they have their little discontent party and they talk about their problems. And they complain, and they grumble, and they listen to themselves, and they believe themselves. And the sad thing is this, it becomes a way of life, and you turn into a big fat sourpuss. And no wonder nobody wants to be with you. You become someone who feels like, well, I'm just going to speak my mind. Now, discontent usually hangs out in two general areas. And here's what I want to say. It refuses to be thankful for what it has, and it covets what it doesn't have. And write this down. It really does never make you feel better to be discontent. You don't feel better. And it never edifies its hearers. Edify means to build up. It doesn't build people up. And then write this, it is a waste of time. Hasn't this been an uplifting lesson? Aren't you glad you came? So how can I go into my heart and identify and see where is the discontent in me? Well, here's what we do. Here are the steps. First, we have to, step one, ask God, show me. God, I want you to search my heart. I've had this lesson. I don't want to be that sourpuss. Do some heart work in me, God. You're able. And I'm just going to go through a little checklist. I'm going to check my relationships with my family and my friends and with my finances and my health, my appearance, my wardrobe, my house, my marriage. Am I jealous of other people? Am I happy when other people prosper and excel? Do I grumble? And as you just kind of do that little checklist through your heart, God will show you. He will. And then write this down. After he shows you, what should you do next? You need to confess it to God because it's a sin. It's displeasing to him. Well, how bad is it? We'll just read number 16. And then what do you do next? You cultivate a thankful heart. You thank him for what he is doing in your life. And then you submit to his will, his purposes. That's next. You just put yourself under him. God, I will purpose in my heart to be content where I am. And then the last one, be grateful. Is that on there? Okay, don't read it. Now, this is the way out of discontent. That's the first step. You've got to recognize that you are. That's what you've got to do first. And then next week, we're going to go to step two. What is step two? I'm going to get out of discontent, and guess what? I'm going to find contentment. And so that is the chapter we're going to be looking at next week. Turn to your homework, and let's go over our questions. What page are we starting on, everybody? Yeah, go to page, I think it's 28. Take the next few minutes. I'll come back up and close us in prayer. Quickly go over your questions and see what you have. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, thank you for just the good discussion around the tables. Thank you for the nerve that you struck in our hearts this morning. It's just a wake-up call to us, Father. And then I do pray you'll bring everybody back next week because we're going to get into the good part. But thank you for what we've seen this morning. Thank you for revealing the ugliness of discontent. Help us to be thankful in all things. Help us, Father, to cultivate and learn this matter of contentment. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Now do your homework and bring your book next time.